Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we begin the new year, do you fear the future? Perhaps you're unemployed and overwhelmed, afraid you'll lose everything you've worked so hard for, your home, respect of others, even your marriage, they're all in jeopardy. Maybe you're afraid of losing your job. You still have it, but there have been rumors of impending cutbacks in the new year. And after all these years, you get sweaty palms and shaky knees just thinking about interviewing for a new job. You know, fear of the future can be a major roadblock holding you back from both career and lifestyle goals. And my next guest, Brian Toter, is the no fear guy, and he's here to give us some real-world ways to overcome the fears of job hunting, unemployment, failure, just about anything. And Brian Toter is a professional hypnotist for 30 years. He's also a motivational speaker and an author, and he's owner of Plymouth Hypnosis Center, which helps people lose weight, quit smoking, manage stress, and get their lives back together. And he's author of the book Get Thin, Be Happy, 6 Easy Steps to Weight Loss Success. And hello, Brian. Happy New Year, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Happy New Year to you.
Well, let's set the scene. Let's say you're 49, you lost your job shortly before the Christmas holidays, you never before have been unemployed for any period of time, and you're scared to death. You use the holidays as an excuse for doing nothing, but you need to begin job searching now. You're basically a shy guy or a shy gal, not very self-confident, and hate asking others for favors. To conquer your fear, where do you start?
Well, the first thing you have to do is figure out what you really want.
Yeah.
You know, most people go through life without really deciding what in the world they want. Let's go all the way back to college, for instance.
Yeah.
You're a kid, you're 18, and you're told, you know, you need to decide what you want to be. Tell us what you're going to major in. You know,
yeah.
You're going to be a writer, you're going to be a scientist, you're going to be an astronaut. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is we're too young. You know, we're too young to figure this out. But we fall into something, and we don't plan ahead, and you usually get the first job you get. And and life ends up being just a journey of mishaps. Most people don't plan it out.
Yeah, that's what my book's all about. falling into your first job and, you know, basically going to sleep for 30 years. Sleepwalking
and
through life.
I see this with people in my office all the time. I ask them, you know, on the intake form what they majored in, and it never matches their job.
Yeah,
so
that's for sure, too.
They stay in a job, they're miserable, then they lose their job, and they still haven't really figured out what they want to be when they grow up. And it's an awful feeling. It's when you're aimless, it puts you into a different state of mind.
Yes, it does.
I'll give you an example.
Then just go from one bad job to another as well.
Not just that. Not even with jobs.
Just
the attitude. You know, the second man who walked on the moon, Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
He came back to Earth and started drinking and almost committed suicide.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, the first guy who walked on the moon, Neil Armstrong, he came back and taught engineering in Iowa, didn't he? Wasn't it Iowa?
You got me.
And the difference was one had a purpose in life and the other one didn't have a purpose in life. I mean, what do you do after you walk on the moon? Right?
Yeah.
What else are you going to do with your life?
How do you stop that?
Right. So, and it's the same thing with somebody who they have a job and then it's taken away from them or they lose it somehow and they're aimless in life. And when you're aimless, you don't know what to do. And that's usually what people say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I do with my life. So the first step is figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, that's
maybe it's a whole new job. Maybe it's start a business. Who knows?
We call it taking a mental vacation to find your vocation. That's exactly what we recommend. You know, before you start running around looking for work through the posted one ads on the internet, et cetera, you have to know exactly really what you're looking for and visualize yourself doing what you want to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't know, they kind of look at job searching like you see in the movies where they're sitting with a cup of coffee and a kitchen table, and they're just taking a red marker, and they're circling this one and circling that one. And
it's always
just circling
that way in the movies, isn't it?
Yeah. I did that when I was a kid. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I thought, oh, okay, friendly ice cream. Maybe I'll work there. But you can't start a career that way. So
no.
I guess the second thing would be, you know, figure out what kind of assets do you have? What are you going to bring to the table?
Yeah.
Maybe you're a good copywriter. Maybe you know how to write headlines. Maybe you know internet marketing. Just different things that you can do that maybe you didn't have 20, 30 years ago and wasn't really necessary for your job. And now you can take these new things and find a whole new career or start a new business.
Well, let's say that you've uncovered what you really want to do in life, and you've made a couple contacts and arranged some job interviews, and you're well coached on preparing for job interviews, how to research the company, how to respond to the standard question, you know, where do you want to be in 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. But you're always cool until you get in the actual interview, where you always lose your cool. Any secrets on how to look confident, composed, and secure, and yet enthusiastic in the next job interview? That's where I always used to have problems.
Yeah, interviewing is tough because the problem is you're being so scrutinized.
Yeah.
Most fears, I find, come out of scrutiny. I'll diverge a little bit and come back. Let's say you take the fear of public speaking. The fear of public speaking isn't really the fear of speaking on stage. It's the fear of being scrutinized by your audience.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Most fears are really the fear of being scrutinized. The problem is, in the case of the interview, you really are being scrutinized. Like in the fear of public speaking, you really aren't. You think you are, but you're really not. But in an interview, yeah, you're being scrutinized. You're being judged. You're being compared to all the other people
who
are in line right after you.
Might be a killer. You know, the next word out of your mouth could kill the deal. That's the way you might feel.
Yeah, the thing is, my thinking would be, go in and just talk as if it was someone on the other line or the other end of the phone. Just have a conversation with them.
That's a good point.
Because if you come in, you're rehearsed and you're giving a couple word answers, things that everyone says, you know, the answers that are in the books. That's not what they're looking for. They just want to hire a guy or a girl just to do the job already. They're not looking for, you know, the next judge in the Supreme Court. They're finding someone for the job.
Yeah.
And if you're qualified and you're not lying and you're a good person, maybe you'll get it.
You're able to converse, like you say, person to person, perhaps you can throw out a couple suggestions on how you could contribute to their success without obviously second-guessing the interview or and pretending you're acting like you're smarter than them,
The funny thing is, when you're talking on the phone, like you and I are talking on the phone, I don't know what questions you're going to ask me. There's nothing rehearsed. I have no papers in front of me. I got my cup of coffee. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed with my phone in my ear. I have no idea what you're going to say, and I'm just being myself.
Yeah.
I might give a wrong answer. And that's how you should actually take the job interview. You should just take it as if you're just having a conversation with the guy. And let's say he asks you a question that you don't know. You might want to say, you know what? I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know the answer to that.
That's an excellent suggestion. Instead of stammering around and making a fool of yourself and trying to answer something you can't.
Yeah, most people will lie, or they'll flounder around, or they'll stammer, or, you know, they'll start shaking, your mouth turns dry. I would look at him and say, you know, Bob, that's a great question. I've never been asked that before. Maybe kind of a minute to think about that, or, you know what? I'd love to give you a great answer. Can I call you about that? Could I call you back and get
Yeah, that's a good way
I don't
to
know.
Stay in front of the interviewer also. Can I call you with that answer? Because that gives you a second shot at closing the deal.
Right. It's because most answers don't need to be done that second. I mean, maybe if you're an astronaut and you need an answer right now or you're going to crash into the moon.
Yeah.
You know, probably, not always space references. maybe you need an answer right now, but he's asking you just a question. He just wants to get to know you. He's not asking you a question because if you don't answer, the fate of the world is at your fingertips.
Yeah, and such a key is to make sure that the interviewer is comfortable with you because nobody wants to hire a person that they're not comfortable with. You know,
absolutely. If you've ever been with somebody and they feel nervous and they look nervous, it makes you nervous.
Yeah, that's very true.
it's funny. People come to my office, and I'm a hypnotist. I help people lose weight, quit smoking, reduce stress, get rid of their fears. You know, I'm the no fear guy.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to expect. Many of them come in and they're scared. They think I'm going to be this crazy guy with a Van Dyke beard and a cape and a hat and look like Snidely Whiplash, ready to tie Nell on the train tracks. And you know, it's not like that. It's a very friendly office. I'm a nice guy.
It's
a happy little place. And if they come to me and they're really nervous, it kind of makes me a little nervous too.
Oh yeah.
So I turn that around and I smile, I look right at them, I don't stare, I pretend as if I've known them for years.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not a close friend, but it's Bob.
Yeah.
I don't even know his last name, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do.
Well, in the brief time remaining, please explain why, as you put it on your website, every mind should know about hypnosis and how you can use it to achieve anything you want.
Really can. You know, you're hypnotized most of the day. You're hypnotized driving your car, reading a book, watching a movie. Anytime you stare into a spot, you go into a trance. So one of the things I would recommend your listeners is to learn self-hypnosis. And there's all kinds of books and recordings out there to learn this. And learn how to do a simple self-hypnosis technique to calm you down while you're in the car before you, you know, after you park the car, before you go in, and it'll calm you down, maybe give you some suggestions on confidence and security and doing a good job. And then go into the interview empowered.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask. So self-hypnosis does work. You don't necessarily have to go to a professional like yourself to accomplish that then.
I would rather you go to a professional hypnotist only, and it doesn't have to be me, but I'm just saying learning hypnosis is learning to sing from a book. It's not that easy. But if you can buy some self-hypnosis programs like on Amazon or your bookstore that will be for confidence and security. And there might even be some on how to get your next job.
Yeah. Well, you're an accomplished hypnosis who's demonstrated time and again that the hypnosis works, but you're located in eastern Pennsylvania and we can't all travel to meet you in person. Can you help those of us in Texas or California or Iowa or wherever to overcome our fears and how? And another question, how do we seek out an effective local professional hypnotist if we want one? And how do we distinguish the good ones from the bad ones?
Yikes. I have to answer that in 45 seconds. Okay. first thing to do is find me. I'm at thenofearzone.com or nofearzone.com, either one. And I have a little recording on there. It's an audio. It's about 25 minutes long, and it talks about fears and getting over your fears, and it's free, absolutely free. So just put in your email, and I'll send it to you. You're not going to get spammed or anything like that.
Yeah.
Finding a good hypnotist is not that hard. You want to find somebody who has some good reviews. You want to make sure they have testimonials. Like on my desk, I have over 800 testimonials from my clients. So I've been there for almost 13 years. So you want to find somebody who has a track record.
Yeah.
I'm not into woo-woo stuff, so someone who is into all this airy-fairy stuff wouldn't really be my choice for a hypnotist, but maybe some of your listeners love that stuff,
yeah.
So you might want to seek somebody who's into that.
Okay.
Just check the internet and make sure that they're a certified hypnotist, either with the National Guild of Hypnotists or the American Board of Hypnotherapy. Those
okay,
the
so there ones. Is a certification of hypnotists. I wasn't aware of that. But
Yeah, there's no licensing or anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a licensed hypnotist. And just to say this, and I'm sure the doctors and psychiatrists won't really appreciate this, but just because someone has a PhD doesn't make them better. just seriously, a really good, competent hypnotist who does hypnosis every day might be better than someone who does it once in a blue moon but has a doctorate.
So to get in touch with you, people should go to nofearzone.com.
Right.
And what are some of the items you offer there on your website that would help us to get into hypnotism and to use that to conquer our fears?
Well, right now, I just it's free. There's a lot of stuff on there that's free about getting over your fears, and they're all videos, and they're only 2 to 3 minutes long. They're very short, and I'm sure you could find something on there that would really talk to what you really need. So just
yeah.
go to the nofearzone.com or nofearzone.com and check it out. It's fun.
Yeah.
And get the recording. It's only 25 minutes long, but it's astounding. And there's
yeah.
something in there that I'm going to teach you that will just blow your mind. It really is.
Your book sounds like a great resource for this time of year when losing weight is probably the number one resolution for New Year's. Tell us
Absolutely.
How you get your book, Get Thin, Be Happy. Where can we go to find that?
There's a small website. You might not know of it. It's called Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. And you can get it on either a real book or on Kindle. Kindle's
oh,
nice.
I see.
And it's Get Thin, Be Happy.
Yeah.
And just type that in and you'll find it.
Yeah, I found it right away when I went on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's the best place to go, I guess, for looking for it. But
yeah, it's only 99 pages. This thing will take you 40 minutes to read. I didn't want to have a big book that someone's going to have to read in order to lose weight. And it is so practical, and it's the exact techniques that I use in my office that people pay me thousands of dollars for.
Oh,
and you
great.
Could get it for under $10, seriously.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good deal. Well, in conclusion, and looking back over my life, I see so many opportunities I missed out on in my career, relationships, enjoyment of life because of fear, and I only wish I'd had Brian Toter, the no-feared guy, by my side. But unemployed or not, if fear is holding you back from achieving your goals and being the wonderful person you were created to be, I recommend you go to Brian's website and explore the possibilities of spectacular change through hypnosis and his other tips for you. And once again, that website is
thenofearzone.com.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, and best of success in the new year. And that's
yeah, thank you.
And that's it for today. Now let's go out and conquer our fears because there are infinite possibilities all around us for the fearless. Thank you, Brian, and goodbye. It's January, and most of us in North America are freezing, and it's a long time till spring. And when you think about it, the dead of winter is probably when you and I need a vacation more than any other time of the year. But the downside, Christmas bills keep coming in. Taxes will soon be due. And January and February is a financially challenging time to commit to a trip. Wouldn't it be great if you could afford to get away on a winter escape, just you and your spouse for a week or two, perhaps an extended weekend in someplace warm and exciting, or maybe the entire family for an early spring break, if not right now, maybe in a month or two. And to help us out, I've invited Russell Hennen, the ultra-economical travel expert, to join us today. And Russell is a travel writer, speaker, and author of a soon-to-be-released book, Stop Dreaming, Start Traveling. He maintains a popular website, breakthroughbreakthetravelbarrier.com, that's packed with information, a lot of it free on how to travel without breaking the bank. And hello, Russell, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I trust you can help get us out of the winter doldrums.
Thank you for having me, Roy. It's a pleasure to be here. And yes, there are all kinds of things that we can do to take a winter escape. So I think January is one of the more difficult times for people to plan a trip, and it's also when we need it the most because it's cold in many parts of the country. The days are dark, and with all the good reasons you had mentioned, it can be difficult or it can be intimidating to look at being able to afford a winter escape. But no need to worry. We'll be able to help you and anyone else out this morning.
Well, let's start with a negative. What's the most expensive mistake that most of us make when we are traveling?
Well, that's a very good question. Quite often, the most expensive mistake, ironically, is the first decision that we make when planning our trip. And that's where we decide to go and when. just when we look at supply and demand. Yeah, we choose to go to the same places as everyone else.
Yeah.
At the same time as everyone else. And and a question I often get, Roy, is people will say to me, Russ, I'm going to Italy next month, or I'm going to Cancun on this exact date. How can I save money? And my response is, well, sure, I can help, but we could do so much more if
that kind of limits the options when you say this date and that location.
That's correct. So what I recommend, it's the simplest thing, but there is no one place on earth that, from a vacation perspective, that is so important that no other one will do. So what I help people do is, and what I would recommend with yourself, is we could put together a bucket list of all the places that you want to visit and understand why you want to visit each one of them, because some of them will be for different reasons. And once we have that, you prioritize the destinations that are least expensive for you to visit today.
I see.
So by doing that, ultimately, you're going to get to all the same places, but by prioritizing the ones that are least expensive today, at least for now, you're traveling significantly less expensive than if you just said, well, I just want to go to Cancun, and I'm going there. You can go to, for example, Nicaragua, which is even a fraction of the cost of Costa Rica, with the low value of the cord, which is their currency there, and you don't have the Americanized resorts that are going in there and charging American prices. You can go there and stay there literally.
Yeah, we want to make us comfortable by charging American prices. What are some of the most common things that can inflate your travel budget? I guess one is what you just said, picking a specific place and time when you want to go somewhere. But
Well, what I say is there's five things that make your travel budget fat, or as you said, inflated.
Yeah.
They are F for the cost of food, for example, eating at restaurants three times a day. A for accommodations.
Yeah, I know all about both of those. We just got back from a week in Austin and spent way more than we should have.
Well, we've got accommodations, and the thing is, the average three-star hotel goes for $150 a night, which is five times more on average than a one-bedroom apartment down the street that'll go for $900 a month or $30 a night.
That's right.
So there are lots of types of free accommodations, and you know, it's interesting. Hotels are as expensive as they've ever been, and we've never had more alternative options, largely in parts of the internet, for alternative accommodations. And this ties into a big theme right now is with the internet, there's a lot of private services that are now being offered through websites that offer house sitting, home swapping, which is something I recommend for families, to swap homes with another family that has the same number of kids and about the same age range. And it really takes down one of those big barriers that we're talking about, cost of accommodations, where by swapping homes with families with the same number of kids, you've got a place to stay, and you'll have everything that you need. Some websites, there was a movie called The Holiday, and it featured a real website called HomeExchange.com that has over a million subscribers to it. And there's also a website that I like. It's TheVacationExchange.com.
Wow.
So for families, what it is if you have a vacation home or an empty place, you can offer that to someone else in that network, and you get credits instead of getting paid.
Huh.
That you can use when you later decide to go on a vacation, you can use those credits to stay with anyone else who's offering a place through the vacation exchange.
Yeah.
So that's a phenomenal sort of bartering that's available. And similar to any website that you have, people post reviews, guests will post reviews of their hosts. hosts. Hosts will post reviews of things that they've done and other places that they've stayed. And it's a trusted society where you take your time, you get to know the people who run the website and such, and it's a very effective way of cutting your costs.
So you say the common things that travel, obviously, the airfares and the accommodations and the meals. What are the other two that tend to inflate the budget?
Well, the next one, what I'd mention is what makes your budget fat. So we covered F for food, A for accommodation. The next one is T for transportation.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, flights, quite often the cost of a flight is the showstopper for a lot of people. And really what's deceiving is airlines quite often will, what they do is they try to increase the revenues, but they keep that posted rate as low as possible. And then they make up the difference with surcharges and tax and hidden fees. And what I recommend...
The one that kills me is you pay $50 extra to get a seat with a little more leg room up in the front of the coach.
Now, you know what? I truly believe that what we're seeing, you just read the newspaper and you see how infuriated people are everywhere with how services are just getting cut back and airline seats. There's even talks about airplanes having standing seats where basically you're just kind of leaning against a little backboard. I expect things to continue to go that direction until, sadly, I think governments will need to get involved and put regulation in place that basically states a minimum. Seats must be this wide and have this much leg room. Until that happens, it's unfortunate that things may continue to digress. But to answer your question, there's no one website that'll give you the best price 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But there are a few that will return better prices more often on average than others.
I see.
They are hipmunk.com, so that's chipmunk without the C, skyscanner.com.
What was that second one again?
Skyscanner.com is
I see. Skyscanner. Yeah, I want to make sure people got that. But,
And then the third one is kayak.com.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you don't remember this, you don't have to write it down. On my website, there's a free guide, how to beat the best online fare every time, every flight, the rest of your life. So it's got all the details in there.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you can leverage the best price that you find. A lot of websites have best price guarantees. So what you do is you take a screenshot when you find a price, and instead of booking it, you go to a lot of airlines. For example, we have Alaska and Delta. Will offer, not only will they match a better fare, but they'll even give you a credit for $100 that you can apply on a future flight if you present a lower fare to them.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know about that. All kinds of good things.
Now, they just want to be able to replicate the fare, so that's why it's important to take a screenshot, tell them exactly where you found the lower price, so that they can go check right away, and if they can replicate it, then you can get entitled to it.
Yeah. And what are the other two? You mentioned transportation and accommodation, food. What are the other two things that inflate the travel budget?
Well, the next two are discretionary expenses. So you're spending money and then keeping connected while abroad. So in terms of spending money, there's a few neat things that you can do. There's a website that I recommend where you can find discounts, coupons for up to 40% on restaurants, spas, golf, excursions, in any major city in the United States and Canada.
Hmm.
Travelzoo.com, all you have to do is put your destination in there. So right now I just put Chicago in there, and I can see that there's 55% off tickets to see Chicago, the production. There's 55% off spas at the Four Seasons and Palmer House.
Oh, great.
So I did that. I was in New York last month, and I got 2-for-1 tickets to The Lion King. So that's a place you can go. And something else people... Yeah, exactly. And there's something else as well that I recommend, is a lot of people are signed up to e-coupons like Groupon and LivingSocial.com.
Yeah.
But what you do is before your trip, just flip your hometown to the destination you'll be visiting, and then you're going to start getting all kinds of coupons for discounts in the place that you'll be visiting.
That's a great idea. Like you say somewhere, the natives always get don't spend as much as the visitors do because they know the secrets to...
That's correct. So just little tricks like that. So really what I often say is if a local doesn't have to pay it, there's a way to get around it. So really that's what I always strive to do. Now, for roaming fees, for anyone in the U.S., there's only one carrier that provides a package that will give you, as part of the base plan, automatic unlimited text and data in over 100 countries worldwide.
Wow.
It's T-Mobile, the simple choice plan.
Yeah.
So by signing up to that, it's part of your base plan. As long as you're visiting one of those 100-plus countries, the roaming essentially for text and data, not for the telephone piece, is unlimited anywhere you go. And for example, if you're going to Europe and you don't have that package, you can go to a website. It's called lefrenchmobile.com, and they will send you a little SIM card that you can put in your phone for $20, and they'll give you a telephone number that's yours to keep anytime you visit Europe. And the rates are very comparable to what you pay for your at-home plan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You just got so many ideas there that obviously we can't touch on all of them in this brief program. But sometimes in travel, timing is everything. When are the best times to book a winter escape?
Well, for winter escape, there's actually three times. Now, bad news first, two of them have passed, but I want you to take note of these so you can take advantage of them next year.
Yeah.
The first one on Cyber Monday, which is the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
You will. It's ironic because it's one of the most expensive days of the year to travel, but you'll find some of the best travel deals of the year online that day.
Oh.
Second one, we just passed it from Boxing Day to New Year's Day, but third, where we are today is book as soon as possible. So most of the winter escapes are in the month of March. And the closer we get to that, the more prices will go up. So book sooner as opposed to later.
Okay. Where do you find the best winter travel deals? Is there one particular place, or how do you look for those?
Well, you know what? People quite often find it's a lot of work to go digging around looking for travel deals. And there are actually a few newsletters you can sign up to, and you will get deals sent directly to your inbox. Now, there's three in particular that I find are really a cut above the rest. And basically, it just delivers things directly to your mailbox. One of them is Sherman's Travel.com will send a weekly newsletter of the top 25 travel deals. So they have people scouring the internet looking for the best travel deals. Second one is independenttraveler.com, and it consistently impresses me, those newsletters, with great deals and money-saving tips as well. And the third, Travel Zoo, we spoke about that a while ago. I'm really impressed with the deals that I get through them, actually. So by signing up to those three newsletters, you don't have to go look for information. It gets delivered to you.
Boy, that's great. Well, give us a few inexpensive travel destinations that are really attractive this time of year. I know you mentioned Nicaragua. You got any other suggestions?
Well, you know what? We've got a few things. Right now, currency is getting stronger in the U.S. and is lowering in other places. If you're thinking of skiing, you can go to Canada, in Alberta or British Columbia. You've got Whistler and Banff. And just the currency difference, you've got a 15% currency advantage by going to Canada versus doing the exact same thing perhaps in Colorado or Utah.
Yeah.
Going to places where it's off-season. Europe, the euro is low right now.
It's also
off-season. And there's a lot of airlines, if you're flying on points, they will charge less points when you visit Europe in the off-season. For example, Delta and United have a tiered point redemption system. So you can go for significantly less than it would cost you to go in the summer.
Oh, that's great. How about some inexpensive options closer to home? Maybe for an extended weekend or just to escape cabin fever. You got any ideas on that?
Well, something that a lot of people don't know, we've got President's Day coming up quite soon.
Yeah.
And actually, that coincides with Valentine's Day. It's going to fall on President's Day weekend. And actually, all 401 national parks in the United States are going to offer free admission that weekend. So that even that includes Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon, from Acadia to Olympic National Park from east to west and everywhere in between, won't be charging national park fees. So if you're going to be taking a little road trip with your family or thinking of that, President's Day weekend is a great time to do that.
Well, what are some things to watch out for during winter travel? Are there any special hazards we should watch out for when we're... obviously delays of flights are one hazard.
Well, you know what with delays? Well, if you're in a cold climate, the big risk, this happened to me once, is I had a connection in Chicago, and my first leg was delayed because of snow, and then I missed my connecting flight. And if you've got connecting flights, particularly in cold climates, try to book one that gives you well, even if you have a few hours, it may not make that much of a difference. So when I think of it again, try to get direct flights if you're in colder climates, because the snow can really put a kink in your travel.
Amen. I just spent 7 hours with my wife in the Detroit airport earlier last weekend, but it wasn't because of snow. It was because of a silly little mechanical light that wasn't working on the plane, so we sat in Austin all this time and missed the only flight out here to Des Moines and ended up sitting in Detroit for about 7 hours.
Well, you know, despite our best efforts, Roy, we can try to cover all of our bases, and then Murphy's Law, the unexpected thing, or the one thing we didn't cover happens. But despite that, we still want to try to cover all our bases and better our chances.
Well, later this year, you have a book to be released called Stop Dreaming and Start Traveling, and it's not ready yet, but I guess people can sign up in advance for it. And how is your book different from all the other economy travel guides that are out there?
Well, you know what? There's mountains of travel advice out there.
Yes.
But what I've noticed, and a lot of it, well, there's tons of great advice, but there isn't anything out there that really shows you how to leverage it all together. So
no.
I show you how to leverage the best websites with best price guarantees and price drop protection and credit cards that offer, for example, trip insurance or protection insurance when you're traveling. And I show you how to leverage everything together so that you can multiply your savings.
You know what I love about the preview, it says you use management principles to create a step-by-step system rather than going haphazardly about it. And I also like, as you mentioned, you combine simplicity with sophistication. So something that fools like us can understand, and yet it's pretty sophisticated.
Well, fully agree. There's just so much out there. People feel overwhelmed when they're looking for something. So what I do is I put together how to get, whether you're a five-star traveler, a budget backpacker, or anywhere in between, how to get the best possible price quickly based on what you're looking for. And I provide it in the form of step-by-step guides, kind of like an IKEA manual when you buy furniture. So it shows you exactly what to do so you can find the best price quickly.
And it's so great, like you say, start from a step, not from having a precise destination in a precise weekend, but start with being somewhat open to that and then go from there. You know, make that, I love the way you make that priority list of inexpensive to most expensive, and I think you offer some kind of a form for that on your website, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. That's a trip planning form, or I call it the Dream Travel Plan. And that's a form, actually. You can get it on my website, and that shows you how to make your bucket list and then how to prioritize your bucket list from least to most expensive options. So that's really walking you through the exercise that we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And for those places that are too expensive to visit today, don't despair. The book will show you how to whittle down the cost of those places so you can one day visit for a fraction of what it would cost to go today.
And that website, again, is the BreakTheTravelBarrier.com, is that the...
You've got it. So it's like Break the Sound Barrier, but BreakTheTravelBarrier.com.
Yeah, I noticed on there you also have a newsletter that people can sign up for, and travel apps you mentioned, and I like this, a travel bug forum where I guess frequent travelers or economical travelers contribute to that, and sounds like a great place to share ideas.
That's right. So that you can share your travel tips and also learn from other fellow travelers who are doing the same things as well. And the free guide, when you sign up to the newsletter, you'll get as a bonus the free guide how to beat the best online fare every time, every flight.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing. And that newsletter is similar to the ones you described. I guess you have your own newsletter that keeps people apprised of some great deals out there.
That's correct. A little bit later this year, I'll start sending out the newsletters. I'm still doing the final touches on the book, but you can get the free guide for now, and in the next few months, newsletters will start coming out.
I see. Well, to conclude this program, you and I are not bears, and whatever our finances, there's no need to hibernate until spring. And don't give up on your dreams of exciting travel this winter, or for that matter, later this year, until you check out Russell Hannon's website and preview his book, and then later this year, get that book. And as you put it, Russell, economic travel savviness is as important as having an emergency savings and a retirement nest egg. And I think that's so key for people in middle age, say maybe you're recently empty nesters, or even you're contemplating retirement and you want to travel a lot. but you're limiting yourself because you don't think you can afford it. And why put it off until you really explore the options for economical travel? You know, my wife and I met a couple in their late 80s on a cruise recently, and they were dancing the night away, and they've been on like 89 cruises, and I'm sure they find economical ways to do that. And frequent and exotic travel could be a key part of your joyful second half of life, keeping you young and energetic. And thanks a million, Russell, for joining us today. And I hope all of us, what's that website again? So
BreakTheTravelBarrier.com.
Yeah, that's someplace I would highly recommend you go. And don't give up on this winter vacation or something in March when the kids have their spring break and you all to go together. And perhaps it'll be a little warmer here so you can go skiing or do whatever you really want to do economically. And thanks so much.
That's very well said, Roy. Thank you very much. All the very best to you and happy travels.
And keep in touch with us and let us know when your book comes out so that we can all, I guess people can track that on your website as well.
I certainly will. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.